Maggie is a doctoral student from New York University. So for a change, we have somebody from the Big Apple, from the West Coast. Okay, and Maggie is just going to tell us, they will just act as if we are not there. Barriers to accessing health and education service for Zimbabwe migrants in South Africa.
Hi, happy Halloween, everybody. I want to start by saying I have no relationships to disclose. Just to start with a little bit of background, first we know that migrants are an increased risk for negative health outcomes. This is caused by many factors, including limited access to resources, they're often vulnerable and marginalized status, and violent conflicts that often drive people to migrate in the first place. The migrant population in Africa is quite large. The UN estimates that there are almost 20 million international migrants alone on the continent. And South Africa contains the second largest proportion of this group, estimated to be around 2 million. But it's also important to note that these numbers are likely underestimating the true size of the population. Further, unaccompanied minors and child migrants are more vulnerable than adults. They are easily exploited, and in addition, their host countries are less likely to consider them to be productive members of society. So for our study, we wanted to specifically focus on health and education services for migrant youth, and we did this for a number of reasons. First, their increased vulnerability to negative health outcomes makes access to healthcare vital for this population. Secondly, education services have been shown to be an important determinant of SES later on in life, and without education, youth will become permanently marginalized members of society. In addition, research has linked school attendance with positive health outcomes for youth in a variety of African contexts. And our study specifically used Zimbabwean youth in South Africa as a case study. Right now, Zimbabwe is largely unstable. Many social institutions, including schools and hospitals, are non-functioning. But at the same time, South Africa is viewed in the region as being very resource-rich. And this has caused millions of Zimbabweans to flee across the border in search of work. Migrant youth in South Africa face myriad challenges. A study conducted in 2007 by Save the Children outlined several of these issues, and the results from our formative research have sort of echoed their findings. Migrant youth in South Africa face myriad challenges. I'm reading my notes, otherwise I'll get lost, and then I got lost anyway. So the youth experiences throughout the migration process are often marked by severe poverty, violence, low school enrollment, and unsafe living conditions. Our study aim was to investigate the extent to which Zimbabwean migrants have access to both education and health services in South Africa. This was a qualitative study that used snowball and convenience sampling. And from March to August in 2010, we conducted 15 key informant interviews and 11 focus group discussions that were held in Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Musina, which is a town right on the border between Zimbabwe and South Africa. These interviews and discussions were conducted with service providers who are working at nonprofit, governmental, and international aid organizations, as well as with recent Zimbabwean migrants, including parents, teachers, caregivers, and Zimbabwean youth. In order to analyze our data, we used Strauss and Corbin's grounded theory approach, and I won't go through the exact steps of that, but they're outlined here. And through this process, we identified two main research questions. The first is, what are the real barriers that young Zimbabwean migrants face to accessing health and education services in South Africa? And our second research question is, what additional factors are perceived by Zimbabwean youth and parents to be barriers to accessing health and education services in South Africa? And I'll talk about the difference between actual and perceived barriers as we move forward. So first, when I discuss actual barriers, I'm referring to real barriers that are outside of the control of Zimbabwean youth and their families. In the interest of time, I'm not going to read all the quotes on the slides, but they're here for your reference. And when looking at actual barriers to access to health services, we identified four main themes. The first is the attitudes of healthcare workers. Key informants and migrants often describe that access to care largely dependent on whether or not a particular nurse or administrative staff person was willing to help foreign migrants. And migrants repeatedly describe being treated worse than their South African counterparts. Another theme that arose was language. Migrants described how their inability to speak local languages identified them as being foreign, and this made it more difficult to receive care. In addition, migrants' precarious financial situations often cause fees associated with seeing a doctor or purchasing medication to be prohibitively high. And then finally, many of the key informants that we spoke to pointed to the overburdened healthcare system in South Africa as a main barrier. This is a quote from someone from the International Organization on Migration. The law says that migrants should be treated the same as South Africans, but the reality on the ground is not there. They are told, sorry, we cannot take you today. I don't think this is entirely about hate. It's about limited resources. If you are a nurse or a doctor and 500 people show up and you only have space for 50, you have to make exclusion criteria. The first to go are the outsiders. Based on our interviews, we discovered that it was just too simplistic to say that healthcare workers are xenophobic, but that these attitudes are really fueled and shaped by a fundamental lack of resources. Similarly, when we were investigating actual barriers to education services, the theme of an overburdened system remained constant. In the context of schools, this has led school administrators to erect varied procedural barriers that are aimed to keep out migrant youth. And then this has resulted in massive confusion amongst the migrant population, and often the requirements were too difficult for migrants to meet. Again, limited access to resources were a barrier, with many migrants describing that prohibitive costs associated with school fees as a reason they were not in school. And then finally, there was an additional theme of exploitation. Because so many Zimbabweans were unable to get into legitimate public schools, a system of what our respondents called fly-by-night schools has arose. And these schools are designed to exploit the plight of migrants. They charge large fees, and they don't really provide teachers or any real education services. So while there are many actual barriers, we also discovered that certain beliefs or attitudes that were held by Zimbabwean migrants created other obstacles to access, and this is what we're calling perceived barriers. In terms of access to health services, a common theme that arose was the difficulty in navigating the healthcare system. Many migrants described not knowing where to go to receive proper care, and in addition, they did not believe that they had a right to actually receive care if they were sick. Another thing that arose was just the expectation of being mistreated by healthcare workers. Some Zimbabweans we spoke to decided to not even try to access care because they just thought that their efforts would be fruitless. And then finally, fear and mistrust were common themes. A young woman in Cape Town described, I only started going to the clinic after I moved into the shelter. I couldn't go to the clinic while living on the streets. I was scared I would be arrested and deported. So whenever I fell sick, I would sleep until I became well again. I just thought that if you went to the clinic as a foreigner, the experience would be bad. They will never treat you like the locals. It was only after this woman was connected to a shelter that she was able to trust that she could attend a clinic without experiencing negative consequences. And many of the Zimbabweans we spoke to expressed similar fears and beliefs. Finally, our analysis identified three main perceived barriers to accessing education services. And the first concerns gaps in education continuity. Many of the youth we spoke to had been out of school for a long time. And among these youth, they felt that the gap had been so long that it was too late for them to go back to school. As one woman put it, they'll laugh at me, I'm too old now. Other youth described the difficulty in getting back into a learning mode after being disengaged for so long. As with healthcare, misinformation and confusion about rights were another barrier. Although the South African Constitution states that all youth, regardless of their immigration status, have a right to an education, this was not generally understood by the Zimbabwean parents or youth that we spoke to. And then finally, there is this idea of having to weigh educational goals against other basic needs. As one young woman in Cape Town explained, because of the situation at home in our family, going to school here would be a problem. My mom phoned me last week and told me that they were starving because my daddy is not working. If I go to school, my family will be in a difficult situation. I'll put them in a tight spot because it's better if I give them something in the meantime. I think it will help. And again, many of the Zimbabwean youth describe similar dilemmas where they were being forced to prioritize their education goals over simply taking care of themselves or their families. So looking at the ways that these actual and perceived barriers interacted, three overarching themes sort of stuck out. The first was that while attitudes of South African staff are a major determinant of access, the problem is compounded by attempting to integrate young migrants into an already overburdened and under-resourced system. In addition, confusion about the legal rights of migrants and necessary documentation play a large role in creating barriers to access. And Zimbabweans without advocates, such as youth without parents or youth who are not connected to a staff at a service organization, experience much more difficulty in accessing services. And then lastly, in many cases, there are other issues that migrants face simply trump the need or desire for health and education services. And these factors include arrest and deportation, income and housing issues, and feelings of responsibility towards their families back home. The study had a couple of limitations. First, we were only able to obtain a convenience sample, and this was largely due to the vulnerable and hidden nature of Zimbabwean youth in South Africa, and that made it difficult to locate study participants. Our study is likely underrepresenting the experiences of the most vulnerable youth, and this is especially true for young youth living on the street. And a lot of our insight into their specific perspectives came from service providers instead of from the youth themselves. In addition, our study only describes experiences of youth from Zimbabwe. However, it is likely that migrants from other countries are experiencing similar barriers and issues. So, in conclusion, limited access to health and education services is a major concern for migrant youth in South Africa, and this is especially true in the face of the HIV epidemic there. And as such, interventions are desperately needed. After conducting this research, we identified two potential avenues for interventions that could be immediately implemented. The first involves providing advocates for migrant youth and parents. These advocates can aid in the navigation of South Africa's health and education systems, and they can also help educate migrants on their rights. While some individuals are already doing this in South Africa, a much larger effort is needed. A second avenue involves providing training and sensitization for South African staff. This would not directly address the issues related to the overburdened system, but it would maybe reduce some of the tendencies to systematically refuse services to migrants. And then finally, future research is still needed to assess the situation amongst other migrant groups in South Africa and to identify the most effective interventions in increasing access to services among youth and in reducing negative health outcomes. Thank you.